ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट 54। श्री वासुदेव उवाच नहि यस्यस्ते भयं सौम्य यद्वै साहसरीरवाक् पुत्रान् समर्पयिष्यस्य यतस्ते भयमुत्थितम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदन स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। वासुदेव सेड, ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द सोबर, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you have heard from the unseen woman. The cause of death will be her sons. Therefore, I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from whom your fear has arisen, I shall deliver them all unto your hands. Purport. Kamsa feared Devaki's existence because after her 8th pregnancy, she would give birth to a son who would kill him. Vasudev, therefore, to assure his brother-in-law the utmost safety, promised to bring him all the sons. He would not wait for the 8th son, but from the very beginning would deliver to the hands of Kamsa all the sons of which Devaki could give birth. This was the most liberal proposition offered by Vasudev to Kamsa. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading from this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is about to appear. And we are seeing that how Vasudev is trying his best to save Devaki in this particular situation. So, as we have seen throughout this section, that how Kamsa was instigated by an unseen voice. The demigod spoke it actually. That is explained by the acharyas how, seeing Kamsa's affection towards Devaki, because he was riding that chariot, seeing so much love and affection for Devaki, his sister, demigods were afraid that Kamsa may not fall in love with Krishna later. This Krishna is born of Devaki. If he loves Devaki, then Kamsa and Krishna will be very good friends, you know. Uncle and they'll have very good relationship. So devatas were afraid. Although they knew, Krishna already assured them, I will kill Kamsa, but still they had that fear that he might end up, you know, having a good relation with Kamsa. Therefore, they instigated enmity in the heart of Kamsa towards Devaki, so that he can, then there will be enmity between Krishna and Kamsa. This is the plan of the demigods. But this landed of Devaki and Vasudeva in a big trouble. Their fear landed Devaki and Vasudeva in a big fear, big trouble, because now Kamsa was about to kill. And the way he did it, it was so cruel. He didn't attack Vasudeva, because the fear was from Devaki after all. She directly attacked Devaki and thought, she is the root of the cause, root cause. He wanted to eliminate the root cause, the root is Krishna, and cause was Devaki in one sense. But hardly he knew that is the way the demons think, that they can eliminate Krishna through various means, but nobody can eliminate Krishna. Krishna's will act, he's the supreme will, the supreme force. Nobody can go against it. Anyway, he was trying, and here what happens, Vasudeva is in a very, very difficult crisis. One can, if you just think about it, like I was I'm still kind of mundane person, I used to watch so many movies and all previously. So I thought of that situation, I thought that just like sometimes villain, they take charge of a small child with their knife, you know, talking to their throat and threatening. And the hero may be very, you know, powerful and having guns and everything in his hand, but he is helpless, cannot do anything. We may say, why Vasudeva is not attacking Kamsa? He's a Kshatriya, should attack Kamsa. We should try to save Devaki by attacking in a chivalry way. But he's speaking philosophy here. But if you see, this crisis was such that he was actually helpless, and it is a wonder that he could speak philosophy at that time. Normally it is very difficult in a crisis. Anyway, after trying everything, this is the last thing he is trying. After a good deal of thought, it was happening very fast. Kamsa was right there, you know, taking charge of Devaki's hair in one hand, and his sword is in another hand. Such a furious scene. And here, Vasudeva is proposing that you need not fear. The fear is not from Devaki, but from her sons. Because the fear is from sons, therefore, I will hand over all the sons to you. Do whatever you like with them. And Prabhupada says, this is the most liberal proposal. After examining, trying all other means, finally, he is proposing this particular proposal to Kamsa. And this actually solved the problem. We'll see later. So, sometimes devotees fall in very difficult situations, and this instance that how he could promise to kill his own sons, hand over to his own enemies, this kind of promise, why he did this? Very difficult to understand. This kind of, why he didn't say that I will offer my life? But that will not help Kamsa actually. Kamsa's problem was from Devaki. If not Vasudeva, somebody else will, you know, make her pregnant and there will be children. So that was the problem. So there was no other way left for Vasudeva to offer those children, which he accepted as a kind of destiny. So, sometimes people may pass through very difficult situations, and it is very difficult to understand what to do and what not to do and how to behave. And here I was trying to understand this particular situation that Vasudeva was facing. And our Baladamanand Prabhu has given me a service to proofread this Journey Home book. He has translated to Oriya, and I was just reading. And I came across a very nice pastime which can relate to this particular situation that Vasudeva is passing through. And we will see how, through this particular situation that His Holiness Radhanath Swami went through, we will see how Vasudeva was also passing through a situation, how he acted and how his actions were quite proper. By seeing this particular instance that Maharaj went through. So in his journey, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj explains that he came to a place called Prayag. All of us know Prayag. Actually, Prayag means any two rivers that joins, that meets together, any two rivers, that's called a Prayag. But when you say Prayag, it means Prayagraj, always. Just like Prabhupada says, yoga means bhakti yoga. Yoga means bhakti yoga. It cannot be any other thing. Prayag means Prayagraj. Prayagraj means this king of all Prayag. There are many confluences of rivers, but this particular confluence is the best of all confluences, most holiest. Because here Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, all the best of all holy rivers, they meet here, confluence. Just like when pure devotees meet together and discuss Krishna Katha, it's very nice, very pure, sanctifies the place and everything. So when the holiest rivers meet, that place is also very powerful, very, very potent. And expressing the desire to visit that place, Maharaj reached Prayagraj. And after reaching that place, he asked, where is Mother Ganga? He was asking, where is Prayag? Probably he didn't know Hindi, so he must be saying Prayag, Prayag, and somebody said like this way, that way, or whatever. And started walking, and he reached Mother Ganga, bank of Mother Ganga. And then there is sat, paid his obeisances, offered his prayers. Then as he was sitting there, he thought, actually he was sitting there and thinking how to approach the confluence. At that time he saw a very interesting scene. He saw a hawk, an eagle was roaming the sky. And suddenly that eagle started circumambulating him and coming down and down and down. You see, the eagle came so close to him, he could see his eyes, yellow-colored eyes he could see. And suddenly that eagle was going round and round and suddenly dived into the water. And he was watching all these things. And inside the water there was some struggle, some kind of fight. And suddenly the eagle came out. And as he came out, there was this 1 foot long fish clung to his claws. And the fish was thriving for life. And the eagle just went into the forest, fly back into the forest. So he just saw it and he was thinking, how we are also living in our comfortable zone, just like the fish. Fish was going in a daily life, you know, swimming, or maybe with wife and children, whatever. Not knowing that this thing is going to happen. Suddenly it happened. Similarly, Maharaj says, we are also roaming in our daily activities, not knowing any time the death can snatch us. We take things for granted, actually. That is a kind of illusion. So therefore, one has to be very serious about spiritual life. So this incident happens, and next what happens with Maharaj is also something related. So what happens, there is things, if I walk along the bank of Ganga, I will reach confluence of Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, naturally. Thinking like that, he starts walking. But then, it was a summer season, you know, in North India, it's very hot. And the sand on that river bank was very, very hot. And as he was walking, his feet were practically burning. You see, the sands were like fire. And his feet was burning. Then you may be thinking why he was walking bare feet, you know. Because he explains that once he went to this Naga Babas. And the Naga Babas were doing a sacrifice and he didn't know what is a sacrifice. He just walked to the area wearing a chappal. And Naga Baba blasted him, saying, "Yeah, what is it? You have contaminated the whole place and all these things." So from that point he decided not to wear chapal anymore. So he gave up the chapal throughout his journey. And now he was on a hot sandy beach and his feet were practically burning. But anyway, continued to walk. Somehow or other, after 1 or 2 hours in that hot sun, he reached the confluence. And because it was hot summer, no one was there. All around he said nobody was there. So he thought, let me put aside my whatever belonging I have, little bit small bag, and take a dip here, in a holy dip. And deciding like that, he entered the Ganga. And he was taking his bath, offering his prayers. Then suddenly what happens, he decides, because this is a very holy confluence, and it's a hot summer also, and I don't know when will I come back to this place, so better let me spend some more time in the water. Taking as much, you know, holy credits as possible. Thinking like that, he just kept swimming in that water and gradually he swam across the river, reached to another bank. After reaching that bank, he just came out of the water and started walking on that bank. And as he was walking, suddenly he started getting sucked into the earth. Both of his feet were going down. So he understood it was quicksand. Quicksand means then he looked around and nobody was there, to big distance, nobody was there. And he will shout? He cannot shout to anybody because nobody is going to help him. And he was helpless. Recently, Maharaj was speaking about this particular incident on his, there is in America, there is observed something called Father's Day. In India also, there is observed nowadays, Friends Day, Father's Day, like that. So he remembered, somebody asked him on Father's Day, what is your view on this particular incident, on your particular day, what is your opinion? He said, recently I called my father and he said, I am reading this Journey Home book, and while reading I came across this section and I started crying. Maharaj said, oh, that happened a long back. And he said, you may not know what it may be long back, but for a father, but just by reading this thing I am feeling very sorry and sad. This was his message on Father's Day, how fathers are so care and loving. Anyway, so these legs were going to, his went down past his knees and started struggling to come out. The more he struggled, the faster he went inside. Then in vain he looked around, he saw a bushy plant was there. He grabbed on that bushy plant, but it was thorny, lot of thorns. Pierced his hands, lot of blood came out. And some or other holding to that, he would take out one of his leg, but again the leg would again go back. Then when he again tried, that whole bushy plant came out of the sand, uprooted. It was absolutely helpless. He threw that. Now he was breathing. He took a deep breath because he was so tired out of this anxiety and exhaustion. Just took a deep breath and relaxed. And he said, when I relaxed, immediately I understood that there is a way to come out. So that is the way. Actually, normally in passion for survival, we just forget the situation. We just go blind. And he understood that he can lay his body on the ground, you know. From west onwards, it was outside. So what did he put his body like on this, on the sand? So when he put this body like that, the body didn't go onto the legs. So the legs stopped drowning. The legs stopped drowning, started crawling out like a worm. And gradually the legs came out. And he didn't stood again. He just crawled back into the water. They'll crawl back like a worm into the water, because standing means second danger. And he thought he was relieved. You know, something happened to the fish and now something is happening to him, one after other. So I was just swimming across the Ganga. He understood that his destination is like the other side. So Yamuna was flowing very smoothly, you know, slowly, but Ganga's current was very heavy. So that if you just swim across Yamuna, he will reach his particular place. But within Yamuna, Ganga current is also there. It's a confluence. So the more he tried to go, the Ganga would throw him back towards that quicksand area. So he couldn't go back. Struggling. He said, I was struggling and struggling. And I was losing all my strength to the extent that both my arms, he's saying, both his arms were like paralyzed. There was no strength in it. And he was drowning, he was helpless, and he started praying to the Lord. And then there was some hope that came to his vision. What was that? There was a boatman who was just crossing the river like this. A very old guy with a white beard and a red turban. He was going, very skinny fellow. And Maharaj started shouting, you know, help me, like that. But that person was going, and he was wondering whether he would be able to hear me. But whatever strength he had, he just started shouting. And finally this man spotted him. And after spotting him, he just came close to him, smiled at him, and pointed his hand like this. And while pointing his hand like this, he just went by. So Maharaj says, just left right across me and leaving me to drown. And he couldn't understand anything. Then just he was struggling, started drinking so much of water. And gradually he went down into the water. And at this point, this interesting thing is, Maharaj says, involuntarily swallowing more and more water, I now lost all the hope. Even as my hopes died, I thought, it is better to drown in a holy river than suffocate in that quicksand. So, see, even at a crisis, moment of crisis, the person is very advanced, he can think it a positive way. It is better to drown in a holy river than to die in a quicksand. suffocate in a quicksand. So that's how we can say also Vasudev Maharaj, it's a crisis, but he is able to think so many different ways and give proposals to Kamsa. Isn't it? It's a nice point. It is better to drown in holy river than to suffocate in that quicksand. Then he started thinking any positive things. He's thinking the same Ganges who in Rishikesh had taught me so many precious lessons and nourished me as a mother, to whom I offered my egotism in the form of my harmonica. These are all details. And whose song awakened my soul, that Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to the same mother Ganga, I now offered my life. So now, in this way, praying like that, he was going gradually under the water. And then he says very nice things. Says the, then something wonderful happened. What was it? Not that he came out of the water. What happened? Submerged under the water on the verge of death, a beautiful song awakened in my heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, he's saying, just as Ganges first revealed this mantra to me, she was revealing it again at the hour of my greatest need. So if somebody is very sincere and very, very, serving and praying, doing his best, then at the end moment, Krishna is definitely going to help. So this is the lesson we can get from this particular episode, that anybody serving Krishna sincerely throughout his life, throughout his or her life, then definitely at the time of death, Krishna will just surface on our heart and mind. That's what is happening here. Then Maharaj says, the mantra brought me into a state of peace beyond fear. Now he was panicked, he was afraid. Before, when he was struggling, he was panicking, struggling for his life, a fearful situation. But even he said, when I chanted and surrendered myself to the Mother Ganga, at that time, I get a state of peace, a peace which is beyond any amount of fear. Just free from fear, absolutely free. Then because he was free from fear, once again, just like, the clarity, then, just like when he, take a long breathing and relaxed, he understood that the quicksand he can overcome. Similarly, when he just relaxed and beyond fear, then, like the rising sun, a thought appeared in my mind. I thought, why did that fisherman wave his hand forward? So these are all practical, Just like we can see how Vasudev could think so many things, he's about to be killed. All these things, how can a person think? We always wonder like that. Because we normally panic and lose all patience and just die miserably, basically. Any ordinary person. He just, something happens. They can't surrender to Krishna. But here, Vasudev is a Mahabhagavat. It is explained by Sukadev. He is a Mahabhaga. He is father of Krishna, actually. He is not an ordinary person. He is a great personality. He could think so many things while Devaki was under attack. Here you can see also similar situation he is passing through. And because of shelter of Mother Ganga and Krishna, he is able to think so many things already under the water. Why did that fisherman wave his hand forward? He's thinking. What did it mean? Suddenly understood. He was saying, do not fight against Mother Ganga. Go across her current by swimming with the current of Mother Yamuna. So instead of fighting against the current, better you swim with the current and then cross the river. What is the big deal? So as soon as he surfaced, then he got hope. He came out, whatever little bit energy he had, he put into it, came across the river. But while he was swimming again across with the current of Yamuna, he was thinking, what about my passport? Oh, I left it long back. And I left it in such a long place. Now I will come across another place, then I have to walk back. Will it be there? Such thoughts came. Then he was thinking, why am I wondering? Months back I was about to die. The small things, I am so much wondered. we may be thinking it is a small thing, one passport, or there was no money perhaps, and somebody else may have more money and may be thinking, I should think about more money. If it is more money, then we should think about it. Actually, it is not. Compared to our life, what is valuable? What amount of money or anything? Because after all, we are something different from this wealth and everything. We are different from this world. So therefore, if we think something that belongs to this world is very important and precious to me than my own life, then what a foolishness it is. People are so much concerned about materialistic things, money, career, prospect. All these concerns are so much captivating people that they forget themselves, their own benefits. People just forget about it. After all, it is we are persons, and we have certain goals, certain destiny, and we deserve something. But because of all these small trifles, we forget our real goal. So Maharaj just thought, this is a trifle issue, so I should not worry about it. Then he just came out of the water and started walking towards his place from where he started. When he reached, it was already evening. He started in the noon time. It was already evening. All day long he was struggling. And when he said, when I reached there, because it was evening time, a lot of people were there. They came to take bath in the Ganga. And so many people were going here and there, and he found his bag was lying there amongst all of them, and nobody is looking at it. It was untouched by anyone. Maharaj says, unmolested. It was lying unmolested. And he picked up those things, and in the night he slept there only, in the sand of Mother Ganga. In the morning, as he got up, he was sitting there and was putting the sands through his fingers, passing through his fingers the sands. And suddenly he found the sand is very cool. And then he started thinking so many things, so many realizations come. And it's a very nice realization he writes. I'll just read it, because if I speak, I may miss some of these points. He says, the sand scorched me like a blazing fire. The very sand, now it is cool. The sand scorched me like a blazing fire, and later was greedy to devour me. Same sand was very scorching hit like fire. Later the same sand was devouring me. But now the same sand is cool and soft and gives me shelter. Then he says, like sand, a person influenced by circumstances can become viciously envious or affectionately kind. Under circumstances, many people can be very envious, and other circumstances, same person can also be very loving. We have seen in this world, actually every person, it is explained, in this world, in this age, Kali Yuga, everybody's heart is filled both with demoniac and devotee nature. Isn't it? That's what it is described. That all of us, we don't have to search outside, we don't have to search sample for any other person, we just search our own hearts. That's all. And this fact is a fact, that we both have this demoniac as well as daiva, devotee nature. And the way we associate that kind of feelings comes out from us. Suppose, for example, if you speak to a proud person, suppose you are conversing with a proud person, one who glorifies himself, oh, I have done this, I have done that, you know, I did this, I did that, then we think, what I have done. And many ways, like, I have also done like this, I have also done like that, you know. So that pride also comes in our heart, but just by association. Or even like Prabhupada says, one lady said, lady became sick. So she called the doctor. So doctor saw her and said, okay, you have 99 temperature. Then her servant also happened to be sick. So she said, why don't you see my servant also? So doctor saw her, what temperature she has? And she has 102. Then he said, no, she cannot have anything more than me. So that is a pride, you know. I am the better, I am the best, all this kind of feeling doesn't allow a person to see others also can do better. Anyway, so the association, the same sand, because coming in association with hot sun became hot, and because coming in contact with water became quicksand, and same sand coming in contact with this cool moon became cool. So Maharaj says, under circumstances, one can become viciously envious or affectionately kind. Our company and surroundings have a crucial effect on our consciousness. This is very, very significant. Because we take our surroundings and our sangha very casually. I know people go to various colleges, like engineering colleges, medical college, stay in hostels. And there they think, okay, we're coming from good family, we'll never drink and all these things. The drinking is bad. Parents told me it is bad, so I'll not indulge. But some of their friends do. Sometimes they call to the party. I'm going to the party. I'll do other things, but I'll not drink. Probably I'll drink a Coke. Some of my friends, they'll drink Coke and behave as if they're drunk, in a funny way. But it so happens later, gradually, they mix with Coke and, things like that happens. They started to become drunkard. It's a very difficult, vicious cycle. So circumstances and the association is very important, and we should not take it for granted. Our company and surroundings have a crucial effect on our consciousness. And here, Maharaj says a very, very, very nice thing. Normally, our attitude is, we blame our surroundings. So I become like this because of that. But rather, we can take it in another way, in a more personal way. He says, how important it is to be an instrument to bring out inherent good of each other rather than the worst. So when we associate with other, our association, we should ensure that our association should bring good in other person, than blaming other person contaminating me. So therefore, it's everyone's responsibility that to be an instrument to bring out the inherent good of each other rather than the worst. So then he says, so much wisdom is being whispered through the every grain of sand. If only I could have ears to hear anyway. So in this way, this particular thing is saying. Similarly, we can see Kamsa, he was very affectionate to Devaki, but just by hearing that words of the demigods on sin voice, he became inimical. So the demigods become an instrument to arouse ill feelings in the heart of Kamsa. Similarly, because we have also ill things in our heart as well as good things, we should make a conscious effort not to affect others to become bad by our own bad nature. We have to just check it always. Check it. Rather bring out the good and bring out the good in others. That's the message. Similarly, we can see Kamsa was also affected in a similar way, similar fashion. Then the final point Maharaj makes here is that how he was thinking, I pondered my life and death struggle in the current of Mother Ganga. Then he says, an affectionate mother may at times deal harshly with her child to impress a lesson that will not be easily forgotten. Mother sometimes gives a very, very strong lesson to the child. I'm sure many of you have that kind of experience, especially in India. I don't know, in West they do something, they call the cops. Children can call the police. The parents behave little strongly. But in India we have these experiences. Perhaps, then he says, what was I to learn from today's ordeal, that struggle that he was going through to get his life back? Then he says this very nice point. He says, perhaps we cannot always succeed by directly opposing a powerful force. There is a powerful force and we are struggling against, trying to fight against it. We cannot succeed. So here we can see Vasudeva's situation. Kamsa was not only powerful, she was caught hold of Devaki very tightly. There was no way to escape. So if you would fight at that situation straight head on, Devaki would have definitely been killed. There is no doubt about it. So Maharaj says that perhaps we cannot always succeed by directly opposing a powerful force. We cannot succeed. I thought of many trials I had faced on my path. It was not just one incident. Many such things happened. Then he says, if we do fight against a heavy current, heavy powerful force, our efforts will drown in failure. It is like swimming against the Ganges current. In such circumstances, it might be more effective to find a path of less resistance to accomplish the desired end indirectly. So he says, in such circumstances, it might be more effective if you find a path of less resistance. So what Vasudeva was following? A path of less resistance. He was not going against him, but he was opposing him in another way, indirectly. And actually he was successful in getting back Devaki. That was, we can see from this particular, and this actually explains the situation so nicely, what Vasudeva is actually going through. So, similarly we see this particular age of Kali, Devi yasya gunamai mama maya duratthaya, that if you fight against Maya directly, head on, we'll lose, anybody will lose. There is no, like Vishwamitra and all these big sages also lost the battle. So, therefore we have to take a current that will carry us to Krishna without directly facing the onslaught of Kali Yuga. Therefore we have to take this sweet Sankirtan movement very, very favorably. Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada brings it so nicely. So you have to chant just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the flow of Mother Yamuna. Soft and steady, sweet. Just take it and we'll go back to Godhead. So while Maharaj was struggling, he saw that destiny was very far. He was struggling and trying to see how much he has to swim to reach that shore. It was very far. Actually, he was not able to even see that. So similarly, here you can see Vasudeva and Devaki, they couldn't see when Krishna is going to appear. He was far away. Krishna would appear or not, that was also not sure, unseen. But still, they are willing to surrender to that particular will and try to protect Devaki so that Krishna can appear. Similarly, at every moment you have to surrender and take shelter of Krishna. So, then Maharaj concludes, today, I reflected, he says, the Lord has given me startling glimpses of how far I am from my goal. It was not an easy lesson to learn, and hopefully it will never be forgotten. It will not be easily forgotten. I took a deep breath and looked up into the sky. There, far above all the smaller wingling birds, I saw a hawk, an eagle, with the confidence of an emperor gliding effortlessly into the twilight. This way he ends. And we can see how in the later chapter in this particular book, just like he didn't know what was his destiny, and he didn't know where he was going, and he was struggling. In the later chapter, it is explained that how Ram Sevak Swami, through Narayan Prasad, he was explained that how his goal is neither Ram Prasad, neither Lord Ram nor Narayan, but Krishna. Krishna is his ultimate lord of all lords. It is explained in the next chapter. Anyway, so in this way also Krishna is going to appear in the following verses. Srila Prabhupada ki, 9:15. Srimad Bhagavat Purama Puran ki, Samavet Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Daya Gaur Premanande, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.